Good morning. I believe some of us or some of you would have this time around of the year, you will have a reading week. How many of you had reading week? Wow, yes, reading week. So what did you read? Yeah, I think if you look at it, you know, reading week is a time, as many students will know if you've gone through that a season in your life. It's a time that you review your materials, right? You tend to read, and you try to catch up with causes that you have been, you need to really work on. So these are moments that actually will help you to revise, to review, and to see where your grades are, so that, you know, in the coming causes or in the coming semester, you will do much more better. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it's something like a reading week, like where the author talks about midterm exams. And so, how many of you have sat for open book exams, open textbook exams? Wow, I see one, two, wow. Are they easy? Of course. Yeah, open book exams, it can be, you know, it looks easy, but it can be very tricky, right? Sometimes you will realize, you know, that almost all the things, the, you know, all the answers will be the same. And I thought I'll ask you as an open book exam, right? I'm not going to put the verses here. David would have, when David read, you would have heard what he read, and I believe you have actually heard pretty well. Okay, the first, don't tell me the answer. Yeah. The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Open book exam. The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. True or false? Okay. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. Okay. Come on, okay. Sorrow is better than laughter. You know, just imagine if the book of Ecclesiastes is not with us, or you do not have the writings of this King Solomon, probably many of us will be just scratching our head and saying, you know, what should I write? Right? Sorrow is better than laughter. You know, definitely we will say, yes, my leanings are towards laughter, because laughter is a joyful thing. It's a happy thing. And I want to be happy in this life. And so probably we will be confused, or we will say all of the above kind of an answer. And we thank God for people like Solomon has actually given to us, you know, in this particular chapter, from chapter 7 onwards. He's talking about wisdom. In other words, he's saying, you know, in life there are so many things that you are going to face. There will be trials in your life. There will be difficulties. There will be moments of testing in your life. And he says, even your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tried. The last few months, you know, we have been looking at this theme called trusting God, because that's part of our church theme. And so Solomon would say, yes, our faith will be tested. Our love for God will be tested. You know, our joyful life for the Lord Jesus Christ will be tested. But then he says, use wisdom. In other words, he says, use wisdom. Do not face life with anger, with frustration. You know, when things happen to our life, particularly, you know, we are not so happy about it. We are frustrated. We try to blame the circumstances that surround us. But he says, look at it in a different spirit altogether. He says, this is a moment for you to exercise godly wisdom. So my theme for today is trusting God even when life hurts. How do you trust God? How do you exercise, believe in this God, even when life hurts, my friend? We are going to look at this great man who asked God to give him the discerning spirit, who said, Lord, teach me what is right and teach me what is wrong. Great man of God, a man who's known for his wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this book that we have access to, your great and wonderful scripture, God, that you have given to us. In the eyes of this world, it will be another ordinary book, O God. But we know it is given by you, and this is your word for us. So Lord, help us to trust you, God, and to know that you are in control of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are so many things that actually unites us together, right? There are a couple of things that actually unites us together. But as human beings, you know, one of the things that unites us or brings us together is adversity, right? We have difficult moments. None of us here can boldly say, you know, I didn't have any challenges to my faith or in my faith journey. We have difficulties in our life. Probably if you're a student, you have difficulties in your exam. You work hard and then you realize, you know, you got grades that you were not so satisfied with it. And so in various stages of our life, you know, our faith can be tested. When our kids are growing up, our faith can be tested. In our workplaces, our faith can be tested. And so Solomon is teaching us, you know, how do you trust God even when life hurts? So chapter 7, it's a wonderful thing. So he says, you know, these are the things that you need to be remembering. In the last 2 weeks, you know, I spoke on this thing. Is first thing, you know, faith works from 2 Peter. You know, faith works. These are important things. And last week, we look at faith grows. How do I grow in my faith? What are the things that need to be added in my life, in my faith, that my faith will not be stagnant? Because our faith needs to grow. Our love for God, our dependence, our confidence in God needs to grow. And so when you look at the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he's talking about, you know, that faith reminds us. When you're facing a difficult situation in our life, if you're a person of faith, faith reminds us what is important, what is our priority, what needs to be done in our life. And so Solomon says, when you're struggling in your life, particularly in your life journey, when things are happening to you beyond your control, when testings are there, there are certain things, Solomon says, that you need to remind yourself, because you can be drifted away from drawing close to God. Firstly, you know, when you look at the word, you realize it says, remember the importance of a good name. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, right? He says, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. Parents here, you know, when your child is about to born into this world, I believe many of us would spend time just finding some good name, because we have great plans for the child that will be coming to our family. So we will say, you know, my son, I want my son to be like this, or I want my daughter to be like this. So this is my desire. You pray about it, you search for names, you know, you wait and you ask people, you know, can you suggest a good name? Because you have thought of your child to be like this. And so you will try to have a word or even a name. Even you might personally coin a name for your child, because this is what your child needs to be or to achieve in life. So names are very important. I remember a pastor friend of mine, when you send letter to the particular person, if the name is not spelled wrongly, the pastor will send it back and by saying undelivered. Some of us will, you know, smile. Why? Because that particular person felt, you know, there's something special about my name and I value it. I want it to be written well and written it correctly. And so Solomon speaks about a good name. What is he saying? Is he saying that, you know, a name that is pronounced well, or a name that is so fancy in today's language? He doesn't speak about that. If you look at, you know, the Bible, you know, if you realize, you know, every child was born has a unique name, because this is what the parent, you know, had in their life or they went through a difficult situation, and so they name a child. If there were certain expectations in their life, they name a child according to the Hebrew word or even to the Greek word. So the name is very important. And so Solomon says, you know, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. In other words, he's talking about just maintaining a good name. In other words, he's not just talking about our names. It's not your first name or a last name he's talking about. It's talking about our character, about our life. That when people speak about you, about your name, when your name is mentioned, people know that you have lived a life, an exemplary life. It's not that your name sounds nice or wonderful. It's your life, it's your character, it's your reputation, it's your integrity that he's talking about. And so Solomon says, when you have a struggle in your life, continue to maintain the good name. Don't give up on your faith. Because when you are going through a difficulty in your situation, people should remember your name by saying, you know, so-and-so was strong and faithful. Nothing was able to shake the person's faith away. And that's the way, you know, Solomon is speaking about. That, you know, we should have a good name. There are certain names we remember, right? In the Bible, when we say Enoch, we know Enoch walked with God. We don't see much about Enoch written in the Bible, right? The name Enoch, when it's mentioned, we immediately know, oh, this person, you know, he walked with God. When a person's name like Judas Iscariot is mentioned, immediately, it might sound like a nice, beautiful name to pronounce, but immediately we know, you know, that person, right, betrayed Christ. And so Solomon says, it's not just your name alone, but how do we live a life? And he says, it is better than fine perfume. You know, in other words, he says, you know, it's much more costlier, much more valuable than a priceless perfume, my friend. Because a perfume, after some time, it fades away. The nice fragrance fades away. Right? That's what he's trying to say. It might be priceless. How priceless the perfume might be. If it goes beyond an expiry date, what happens? The fragrance is lost. It loses its value. It loses its worth. But not a good name. A good name continues. And that's what he's saying. You know, we need to have a good name. And so he says, death is better than birth. You know, when you look at the way Solomon speaks about it, he's not saying it is wrong to be born in this world, because if you're not born, you're not going to die. Because when you're born, what is happening? Right? You're starting afresh, a new chapter in your life. People don't speak about your birth, but people will speak about your death. In other words, how you lived a life in this world, my friend. How you lived or how you spent your life in this particular world. So in other words, he is saying, you know, it's not just coming into this world, but living a life with a good name, with a good character, that you're spoken about, you're looked upon by others. And that's what he says. And as you know, when you continue, he talks about another things. He says, his sorrow is better than laughter, right? In NIV, it's frustrations is better than laughter. In other words, sorrow is better than laughter. Can you imagine, you know, you're always crying. You'd like to see a child crying? No. You'd like to see a child laugh, smile? You don't like that? Come on. Yeah. We like a child to smile. Then we'll say, wow, look at my child. My child is smiling. We are so excited. You know, we together with them, we also. But Solomon is saying in a very different way. He's using wisdom here. In other words, he's saying, he's not saying that laughter is bad. Laughter is a good medicine. But sorrow is much more healthier. Because laughter, it will just last for a while. In other words, not much. You just laugh and that's gone. But sorrow, teaches us about life. Because you begin to see, when something happens to your life, what happens? You try to remember, you try to remind yourself, you ask yourself, you know, what did I do wrong? If I'm given another opportunity, how would I do it right? So what's happening? It's a time of learning. It's a time of reflection. Where you go into deep waters, you try to find out who you are, how I should have tried this differently altogether. And that's what he's saying. Sorry is better than laughter. In other words, I think he's saying, you know, a good name is important. You know, how you look at life. And so, yes, there will be trying moments in our life. How do I trust God? How do I keep on trusting God? Always tell yourself, I want to maintain a good name that people will know that I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. You know, whatever happens, trial comes to my life, I will reflect on it. I will learn from it. I will ask myself, you know, what went wrong? How I should have actually approached it differently. And so, trying times, always maintain a good name, a good character, a good reputation, a good integrity. People will see and say, you know, like Job, right? He still loved God, even though everything was taken away from him. Can you imagine? Everything was just wiped out from his life, including his family and his wealth. There's no one righteous like Job. But God blessed him tremendously. A good name. Secondly, probably some of us don't like this, right? Remember the importance of genuine criticism. In other words, honest criticism. You don't know, you want people to pat, right? And say, well done. Even though you don't do well, people, you want people to just appreciate, because that's the world that we live in. We want appreciation. We want, you know, people to appreciate us. Even how little we do, we want people to appreciate us. But he's talking about, you know, the importance of honest criticism. But let me tell you, there are people who will always, you know, try to find some kind of mistakes in us. I'm not talking about such people, but I'm talking about people who are genuine, who are true, who are sincere in the words they say, because they care for you, they love you, and they want you to improve in your life. And so he says in this, it is better to heed the rebuke of a wise man than to listen to the song of fools. Interesting word. In other words, you know, Solomon is saying, you know, it's wonderful, it's much more greater to listen to a wise counsel. Because, you know, there are people, true friends, you will know when you're going through difficulties. Friends will say, it's okay, it's okay. But true friends will walk with you and say, you should have done this differently. They would rebuke you. And that's why Solomon says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend, he's talking about genuine and an honest friend can be trusted because they mean well, they mean good for you, my friend. And so during a time of testing, during a time of when your faith is being tried, seek counsel. Make sure that you're seeking right counsel, good counsel, wise counsel. Bring it to God. Pray about it. Listen and see whether it is valuable. Sometimes, you know, we live in a world, people don't like this. And so what they do, they want people to speak about them, particularly in a very political world. So what happens, right? Extortion turns a wise man into a fool. In other words, what is happening, right? Some people take shortcuts. They don't want criticism, so they will get some few people to talk nice about them, right? They give money, they bribe. It corrupts the heart. In other words, you know, they take shortcuts. They want people to be obligated to them, so they do things. Why? Not in a very friendly manner, not in a loving manner, because they want people, you know, even when you're doing bad, you know, to pat you and say, you're wonderful, it's okay, life is good, you know, just continue to do what you want to do. So you say, extortion turns a wise man. In other words, when you bribe, when you give, because your motive is bad, what happens? And so he's saying, you know, the importance of good criticism. So when you are going through a testing moment in your life, a trying moment in your life, if you want to continue to trust God, open your ears, seek wise counsel. Bring it to God. Pray about it. Right? And listen. Because when you are going through a difficult time, you'll know who your true friends are. And, you know, their words can be helpful. Thirdly, you know, Solomon is a very interesting book. I would always encourage you, you know, if you have time, just go through, just dig into this book and you see wise teaching. You know, when God asked Solomon, what do you want? You know, Solomon could have actually asked for riches, but, you know, he said, Lord, give me a discerning heart. I want to discern. I want to know what is right and wrong. And God gave him that. At the same time, God blessed him with many riches, my friend. There was no one greater than Solomon because a man was known. And so he says the third thing, when you're going through a testing time in your life, you want to continue to trust God, you want your faith to be rooted in God, he says, the third thing, remember the importance of a patient spirit. What happens when you have trials in your life, you have difficulties? What's our human reactions? One of the first reactions is, you know, we become angry. Why me, Lord? In the psalmist, you read, you know, a lot of anger and frustration. Why me? Why the unrighteous are prospering? They don't seek you, but they are blessed. They have everything. But why me? There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of frustration in the sight of God. And sometimes, you know, another group of people will say, you know, I hope it would be the same way it used to be. Right? We hope it was like yesterday. It will be the same. So we are upset. So Solomon says, if you want to continue to trust God, he says, you need to remember in those moments, my patient spirit is important. I need to be patient. I need to persevere. I shouldn't give up on God. In verse 7 and 8 and 9, he says, the end of the matter is better than its beginning, and the patience is better than pride. In other words, you know, the end is important. I believe many of you would have known the story of the hare and the tortoise. When you're kids, right, your teachers will teach you. I saw one of our teachers shaking their head. Yes, we teach our kids the hare and the tortoise. It's not the beginning alone, but much more greater is how we end. And so he says, you know, we need to be patient. Yes, it will be trying. Yes, our faith will encounter so many things. There will be frustrations along the way. There will be discouragement along the way. But the end speaks volumes about us. The end of the matter is better than the beginning. The hare is a very powerful animal, right? It runs. You can't catch. And this is the year of the rabbit too. But what happens? The tortoise is slow, steady. It perseveres. It doesn't give up. People might make fun of the tortoise, but it continues. Finally, it reaches the destination. And that is what is important. And so Solomon says, you know, you need to have that determination. Be steadfast. Your faith will be tested. Instead of being angry, instead of being proud of you know, anger before God, be patient, persevere, be steadfast. And lastly, let me close with this, what Solomon says. Remember the importance of living each day as if today is the end. That's what he's trying to teach us in this particular word. Remember each day. Yes, I'm not saying that we shouldn't plan for tomorrow. Right? As human beings, it's good to have plans for tomorrow. Right? We have agendas for tomorrow. Solomon is not speaking about you know, planning for tomorrow and all that, because as a king, great king, you know, he had plans for his nation too. But I think what Solomon is trying to say here, you know, he is saying, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. No, he's talking about old days. Remember, some people will use this phrase, good old days. No, good old days, you know, those days are wonderful days. You know, I will never forget, you know, how wonderful if I just, you know, go back and live in those days. Life was good. Everything was wonderful, right? Everything was great. That was the problem with the Israelites. Remember? When God delivered them from the land of slavery, from Egypt, what was happening? In the wilderness, when difficulties came, they were saying, you know, it is better to be in Egypt. You have good food, good meat to eat. We can have a better funeral. And, you know, why we are suffering in this wilderness? Right? There's no proper water here. We want meat. And God have to feed them. What is happening? You know, sometimes it's like that. When we have trials in our life, difficulties, you know, instead of trusting God, we say, you know, what about the old days? It's good, right, to remember the past and to, you know, live in those former days. But he says, no, it is not wise to ask such questions. It's unwise. Because when you look at God's word very carefully, what is happening here, you know, as Paul mentions, you know, we need to go, you know, we shouldn't look back. Sometimes we live in the past, right? But he says, move on. Look to God, who's the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, focus on the future. Live each day not complaining to God and saying, Lord, the good old days were wonderful, God. Even before I became a Christian, you know, I had freedom to do everything. I didn't have much struggles in my life. But when I became a Christian, when I stepped into this faith, you know, looks like I have a lot of issues in my life. Probably, you know, some of us will think like that. You know, so Solomon says, no. Live each moment. Each moment. As Paul says, it's press on, press on. Right? Press on and don't give up what is been given to you. And so, what a powerful reminder that Solomon is saying. Yes, we trust God for things in our life. We trust God for healing. We trust God for provision. We trust God to do things in our life. But at the same time, I think we need to trust God even when things happen to us that challenges our faith, my friend. It challenges our faith. It's not about trusting God for things. But I think in the last few weeks, I was wanting us to know that, you know, we need to develop our faith. We need to be steadfast in our faith. Our faith needs to grow. Our faith needs to remember, you know, maintaining a good name is important in the sight of God. Living for Christ, for Him, is important. The importance of good name, the importance of a patient spirit is important, my friend. And so may God help us, you know, as we, as a church, as, you know, we want to trust God. Yes, there will be trying moments in our life, even in our church life. But I think we need to be doing what God wants us to do. We need to be patiently just waiting for God to guide us. And we need to always be open to honors and, you know, criticism, right? Constructive criticism that will actually help us in our journey. And also, we need to say, Lord, each and every day, God, let me, Lord, live for You as if this is the last day of my life. May God continue to help us. May God continue to help us to strengthen our faith, that our trust in God will be stronger, firmer, steadfast, and also growing. Let's pray. It's very interesting. Solomon starts from the seventh chapter. It's a new segment altogether. It's something like a midterm exam that he's giving. He has spoken about life, that life is meaningless and all that. And now he's talking about godly wisdom. Not worldly wisdom, but godly knowledge and godly wisdom. Like midterm exam, we need to ask ourselves. It's not just trusting God for things in our life. It's not just wanting God to do something in our life, my friend. But if our faith is being tested, if our confidence in God is tested, if our faith in God is made fun of by our friends, will we continue to have that good name that I'm a Christian? Nothing will separate me from the love of God. Solomon says, remember to maintain the good name. The end is better than the beginning. People will not speak about your early days, but people will tend to speak about how you ended your life, how you entered your journey. It's not how you start the race, but how you end the race that speaks about who you are. Are we open? Are we open for honest criticism? Friends of Job came and said so many several things. But today we will hear voices. Some people who are close to us, who love us, who care for us, who wants to journey along with us, will be open and frank or even honest before us. It's important for us to bring that before God. Do we have a patient spirit? Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, O God. Help us, O Lord, to continue to trust you. Because we know, Lord, our faith will be tested, our faith will be tried, even in our workplaces, Father. Lord, even in the places that we live, it's easy to compromise, O God, to make people obligated so that they will speak highly about us. Help us, O Lord, to be stronger, firmer, rooted in our faith. We thank you, Lord, that we are not alone, that you are with us. You're the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.